Up next, we're going to be joined on the phone live with Dr. Francis Coughlin. Dr. Coughlin has been a lead organizer of the Health Autonomy Clinic and the upcoming event, Black August People's Clinic, to be held this Friday, August 21st, from 5 to 8 p.m. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Coughlin.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Very good. Thank you. Can you give us an overview of the People's Clinic?
Yeah, absolutely. The People's Clinic is an event coming up this Friday at Freedom Square, right next to the sanctuary from 5 to 8. That's being co-hosted with a number of community organizations that we can go over in a little bit. But the main history of the People's Clinic, or the idea, comes from the work we've been doing with the Health Autonomy Clinic through the Nature Lab, through the work of the sanctuary, essentially trying to put health back into the hands of the community and to reinvigorate the idea that health is a health as a holistic practice and health as a community practice. And this comes a lot from the work specifically done by the Young Lords and the Black Panthers in the 60s and early 70s of really looking at and repoliticizing health, and that the health of the community determines the health of the individual. And so in line with a Black August theme, which is celebrating kind of past Black radicals and Black revolutionaries specifically, that this, the idea of health and access to health, as well as removing obstacles against community health, is an integral part to any kind of radical politics.
Can you talk about the partners in this event and how, what kind of programming they're planning?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the big things that we've been trying to do, especially with the Health Autonomy Clinic, is to really create a network of community groups and health practitioners in the Capital Region. And one of the things that we are very conscious of is we want to highlight the work that has been already being done in the Capital Region, as well as not trying to recreate the wheel, as they say. And so a lot of the groups that we've reached out to and that have been excited to be co-sponsors include SNUG, which has been working around ending community violence, Urban Grief, which has been helping to offer new ways to process grief in communities of Troy and the Capital Region. Troy for Black Lives, which has been very active over the last few years around police violence, specifically with the recent uprising of the BLM rebellion recently in the last few months, as well as other community groups such as the North Central Troy Little League, the NAACP, which is helping to do census work, the Street Medics, which have been at the recent uprisings in support of BLM, as well as the Sanctuary and the Nature Lab, which have been integral parts of the work.
And what activities are going to be held there on Friday?
Yeah, so we're keeping a pretty open format. Obviously, with things with COVID, we want to prioritize social distancing and mask wearing. And so we've tried to scale back some of our practices. But the main theme of the event is Black August. And from 6 to 7, there's going to be a Black August teach-in. And this is in conjunction with the Troy for Black Lives mini-series on Black August history, which they started last Friday. So there'll be a little bit of history of what Black August means, talking about specific people, as well as bringing in the present, you know, who are the new people, the new Black radicals, the new community members who will be part of this new kind of radical tradition in the future. And that is a huge focus on youth, especially a lot of the youth who have been involved with work at the sanctuary. So that'll be from 6 to 7. And then from 5 to 6, we're just having a kind of general open forum. There'll be a bunch of different tables. So each of the community sponsors will have a table to offer resources. The Health Autonomy Clinic, in conjunction with the Street Medics and some other health groups, are going to be offering COVID resources and blood pressure checks. The College City Growers will be offering to-go herbs for home use. And we'll be offering some light snacks and some other entertainment during that time. And that will kind of be an open forum for people to hear what groups are doing, you know, what they're doing as far as the fall comes, and to connect, the network. And then after the 6 to 7 event, from 7 to 8, it again will be another kind of networking and an open forum event.
Dr. Coughlin, can you tell us, you kind of mentioned minimizing the, you know, risk for coronavirus. What are you going to be doing to minimize that at this event?
Yeah, so for sure. Yeah. You know, obviously this is a big thing that we've been focused on and is limiting everyone's events. So the first is having it outside. So I think hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to be graced with good weather, but keeping everything outside, offering masks, and really trying to help people prioritize social distancing. So even minimizing things that we would normally do, such as like massage or more healing modalities, will be limited because of our concerns for COVID.
And I have one other question. Can you talk about the street medics? That sounds interesting to me.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? You just cut out a little.
You mentioned street medics. What are they? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, so this is a group that a few of us have been honored to be part of. So street medics have a long history of work in protests and uprisings, and they come from kind of a community practice model of health that specifically around protests, a lot of violence happened, mainly because of the police, but that there are other basic mutual aid practices, such as, you know, giving people water if people become dehydrated or just need a rest, to kind of watch over each other and not having to relegate ourselves to calling 911, calling paramedics, which do great work but are often affiliated with calling the police at the same time. And a lot of these practices, you know, I've been around for a long time, this idea of communities in uprising taking care of themselves, all the way back from, you know, the 60s and before that to labor struggles of the early 1900s, but really became formalized in the U.S. As an entity in the name with the Seattle protests. And street medics are usually trained in like a street medic training, which is a fairly long and extensive training that covers kind of basic street medicine, such as dehydration, dealing with pepper spray, with tear gas, blunt force trauma from police. And it includes a lot of people who are either medical professionals like myself, EMTs, former EMTs, wilderness trained, basic first aid trained, as well as people who are either experts or have a lot of experience in mental health and mental health de-escalation and grounding.
Well, and you'll be giving a talk on protest safety, correct?
You know, unfortunately, this event, because of the Black August, we're going to focus on the history of Black August. And we were, to be honest, a little worried because of COVID about having, you know, doing a training. But that is something that we would like to do in the future.
All right. So as far as, you know, focusing on Black August, what is the, can you talk about the significance of this event to Troy's North Central neighborhood?
Yeah, as you know, with the recent uprisings and obviously with the recent pandemic, it's been clear that the poor health outcomes that communities of color are experiencing during COVID specifically is an exacerbation of already poor health outcomes that are because of what we call structural violence, that the way our system, our capitalist system is structured, it creates communities that are adversely affected. I think the recent work against the Norlite incinerator is a great example, this idea of environmental racism, where, you know, these very toxic plants that cause, you know, larger rates of asthma and respiratory disease are placed in communities of color, that the rise of police violence and the introduction of drugs in the 80s was put into communities of color, and that chronic stress because of socioeconomic issues or an inability to pay for food or pay for housing adversely affect communities of color. And what was explicitly made clear by the Black Panthers and the Young Lords in the 60s was that you cannot have liberation without health. And because of our for-profit healthcare system, where people need a job to have healthcare access, people can't afford to go to an ER or they can't afford medications, it's clear that for us to experience liberation as a community, we have to find ways to take health back into our own hands. And I think the combination with the Black August theme and, you know, this being a message that was really pushed by those radicals that have come before us in the 60s and 70s, it's an honor to continue that tradition.
Okay. And before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to mention that we haven't asked?
No, I hope that people can come. You know, our mental health is also important. So while we are always concerned about COVID, it is also important to see people and network if possible under social distancing guidelines. So please bring a mask, bring hand sanitizer. We're going to be as safe as we possibly can. And we hope to see you there on Friday from 5 to 8 at Freedom Square.
This has been Dr. Francis Coughlin, lead organizer of Health Autonomy Clinic and the Black August People's Clinic, to be held this Friday from 5 to 8 p.m. The event will be located at Freedom Square at the corner of 5th Avenue and 101st Street in Troy. You can also find event details online at mediasanctuary.org and at facebook.com/mediasanctuary.